Will You Still Call Me Superman? By LMNOP. Read by Rose. When Harry opens his locker, there's a box wrapped in blue tissue paper, wound messily in a skinny white ribbon, just sitting on top of his textbooks. A piece of paper taped to the top of the box reads, "To Harry, Happy Christmas. I noticed you're always chewing on your pencils in class, so I thought this might help. Your secret Santa. XX." Harry rips the paper off the box and opens it. Nestled inside is a Superman Pez dispenser, complete with candy refills and several unsharpened Superman pencils. Underneath it all is a tiny sticker in the shape of a bat, words penciled in on the box itself, almost too light to see. "Batman's better, but I know you like Superman. Sad face." Harry stares at the collection of stuff in the box. There's really only one person at the entire school he knows who loves Batman enough to leave a message like that. Because Liam Payne, track and field star, boxing champion, and darling of the administration, for being a strong, upright young man who encourages his fellow students to abide by school rules, is notorious for his love of Batman. But there's no way this is from Liam Payne, because there's no way Liam Payne has been watching Harry closely enough to get him anything like this. And there's especially no way Liam Payne would ever reference Harry's, admittedly true, oral fixation in a note. Harry frowns at the box for a moment longer, then shakes himself and gets the textbooks he'll need out of his locker. He pauses, then takes one of the pencils, too. "Louis!" he hollers, heading towards Louis's locker, which is two classroom lengths down from his own.
"You rang, darling?"
Louis asks. He's currently stuffing a change of clothes into his locker. His hair is damp, too. There must have been an emergency footy practice this morning.
"Who'd you give my combination to?" Harry asks, when he's close enough to talk quietly. "Oh, for a Secret Santa?"
Louis says, and Harry nods. Louis grins.
"Well, you see here, young Harold, I don't know."
Harry kicks his ankle.
"Yes, you do." "I'm not going to tell you," Louis amends, and then, adopting the "I'm a wise elder who knows best" tone he started using lately because he's older and also an idiot, says, "All things shall be revealed in time."
Harry groans. "I'll figure it out without your help then," he says, and wanders off to find Zane. The thing is, Harry knows that he's a catch. He's charming and cute, and loads of girls dissolve into giggles whenever he smiles at them. And the stuffier old teachers tend to smile back at him even when he gets a bad grade on something. So he knows he's likable. Plus, he wins a pretty good proportion of his debates, and Niall, his oldest friend, is the kind of guy who knows absolutely everyone. Plus, Louis is the captain of the football team, so Harry gets a certain amount of sway being one of his best friends. But Liam is the nicest and probably the most popular guy in school. He's got a lot of super athletic laddish friends. Some, Louis, nicer than others, Andy. But he also is best mates with Zane, who is notorious for being able to pull just about any girl or guy he wants to, even though he's technically a big dork whose only extracurriculars are the graphic novel club and the literary magazine. Liam's in the school chorus too, so he's got a lot of friends there as well. And he's so polite and sweet to absolutely everyone else he comes across, and, well, Harry fancies him rather a lot. Liam fills out his shirt so very nicely, and he's got a lovely face with the most gorgeous, soulful eyes, and hilariously expressive eyebrows, and a sensitive mouth, and a good, strong neck with a birthmark that Harry wants to run his teeth over again and again. Once, when Harry was high with Niall, he may have spent a good 20 minutes ruminating about whether the birthmark would taste different from the rest of the skin. If anything is true about Harry, it's that he just really loves beautiful things. And Liam is beautiful. Liam is also a great boyfriend, which Harry knows from observation and also hearsay, because Liam managed to date Danielle Pizer for 2 whole years, starting when he was in his first year at the school and she was in her next to last, despite being younger and bumbling and not quite on her level, socially, when they first got together. And he also had a bit of a relationship with Tom from the swim team for a couple of months until their schedules thrust him apart.
Tom kept telling Harry about how sweet and considerate Liam was when they were changing out for gym class, and how Liam was heartbreakingly earnest, and how they both went into it for a bit of fun. But Liam was still so serious about his fun, and how Tom was worried he might start developing stronger feelings about the lad if he wasn't careful, and how they're still good mates because he literally can't not be good mates with Liam. Harry can identify with the feeling. Sometimes Harry is a bit alarmed by how much he knows about Liam Payne. Given that their main points of interaction are trying to get through their physics course together, which neither of them are very good at, and trying to talk to him at parties when Liam is stood serving drinks so that no one notices that he's not actually having any himself. Because the way Liam wraps his hand around the keg hose or the necks of the liquor bottles gets him overwhelmed. Louis likes to call it Harry's little stocking problem. Harry just likes to think that he's trying to understand how one boy can be so incomprehensibly good-hearted. Harry is nice, he knows that, but he's not so totally selfish and internistically kind, and he just doesn't understand how Liam can be. So, like, Harry really wants to believe that Liam is behind the Batman note, because one fact that he's gathered about Liam over the years is that Liam is obsessed with Batman. But it's likely not, for a multitude of reasons. Hence his decision to ask Zane if there's anyone else in the school who has Batman as an obvious favorite.
I don't know what to tell you, mate,
Zane says, hardly looking up from where he's thumbing through songs on his iPod.
I don't exactly keep a list of everyone's favorite hero in my back pocket.
You should, Harry says, a little petulantly. But he leaves it at that, pushing himself up off the ground by the orchestra room door, because the end of lunch bell's going to ring in a few minutes anyway. He might as well head toward his classroom. About to head off, he thinks of something and pauses.
You don't have any classes in this wing, do you? Why are you eating lunch outside the orchestra room? You can't even hear any music right now.
Zane pinks a little bit, which is interesting.
My secret Santa gave me something with pork in it, he said steadily, not meeting Harry's eyes. Thought I'd pass it on to Niall. He's a regular human garbage disposal.
Interesting. Harry shoots Zane a wicked look, promising no end to teasing at a later date. But he's got physics next, and he wants to make sure he's still got the seat next to Liam. So after a moment of supreme anguish at being torn between teasing Zane and getting to see Liam for 3 more minutes in the day, he dashes off. Liam sat in his usual seat, one chair away from the window, so he can get the light but doesn't get distracted by looking outside. Harry's had this discussion with him before. Since Harry has no compunctions about looking out the window during physics class, he takes that seat. Liam, he says amiably. He spent a lot of time perfecting the nonchalant hello.
Harry, says Liam.
He grins.
How's it going, mate?
Great, Harry says, and then, feeling quite daring, adds, My secret Santa got me an excellent gift today. Liam turns to Harry, face open and guileless.
Yeah? What's that?
Liam's never acted in any of the school productions, so Harry's not certain how good of an actor he is. This is a problem. Harry thought he knew everything about the guy.
Some excellent Superman stuff, he says, taking the pencil he'd brought with him out of his backpack and smiling his most charming smile at Liam.
Have you got a pencil sharpener I could borrow?
Liam makes a pained face. For Superman? He asks. I don't know if I have a pencil sharpener for Superman.
But what about for me? Harry asks, batting his eyes, careful to adapt a joking tone because he'd probably die if Liam got the idea that he might be serious.
Fine, Liam says, rolling his eyes and rummaging through his bag. I suppose you can put that nasty thing in my sharpener just this once.
Harry raises his eyebrows, sniggering as he accepts the pencil sharpener. It's a hard battle to keep his own face from collapsing into fondness when Liam blushes. But someone's got to fight it. The next day, Harry gets a pair of socks with a Superman logo on the sides. An ornament, also with a Superman logo, and, inexplicably, a little tube of superglue. This time the box is wrapped in green tissue paper, and instead of a ribbon and tape, it's been sealed with little star stickers in blue and silver and red and gold and green. The accompanying note says,
Harry, I heard that you like insufferably hipster bands. I won't tell you which friend of yours told me, as I'm intent on preserving my secret identity. So today, your gift is inspired by the lyrics to one your friend mentioned that you like. The superglue is to prevent your arrest and to remind you of the moral of that lyric. Superman and Spider-Man have nothing on Batman. Happy Christmas, your secret Santa man, XX. It takes Harry a few minutes to remember the lyric in question. But when he does, he feels a bit faint that someone's gone so far as to listen to one of the most obscure songs he enjoys. He says nothing about the gift until Louis mentions an upcoming festival. And does Harry want to get the tickets this time on their way back from lunch that day? Yeah, sure, Harry agrees. Because even though he pays for both of their music festival day passes at twice the rate that Louis does, it's mostly because he can actually afford to. Also, he's already bought them passes to the festival in question for Louis's Christmas present. Then he levels a stern look at Louis. That is, if you don't think my music taste has gotten too insufferably hipster. Louis gives him a wide-eyed look in response, which pretty much just confirms that he's the one who told Harry Secret Santa about the song Harry sometimes sings along to when they're driving around in his car. I'll find out who it is soon enough, you know, Harry says, proud that his voice doesn't sound too pleading. Louis raises his eyebrows at him.
Obviously, he says. But for now, I get to watch you suffer. Everybody wins.
Remind me again why you're one of my best mates, Harry says. And Louis attacks him by jumping up on his back and latching his hands through Harry's hair. And oh yeah, that's why. Harry actually shows up to the graphic novel club meeting after school that day, since there's no debate on Tuesdays, dragging Niall along with him, partly to keep him company and partly for the second set of ears. Interestingly, Niall doesn't protest too much. During the meeting, Harry makes a point of mentioning how Superman is better than Batman at least twice, elbowing Niall hard from where he's staring off into space somewhere in Zane's general vicinity to remind him to peek around the room and see if anyone is reacting in a way that would indicate that they're Harry's secret Santa. As it turns out, Niall is totally useless at the task, seeing as he keeps staring in Zane's direction and... Oh! Wait a minute. It's like that, is it? Harry whispers at Niall in the middle of someone talking about some comic book that Harry doesn't really know anything about, because he's generally just more into the movies.
What's like what?
You and Zane, Harry says, because he's known Niall since they were three. He knows what crushes look like on the boy. Niall looks at Harry sharply, the tips of his ears turning red.
Might have kissed him at a party last weekend?
Niall mumbles, and wait, what? Since he's obviously not getting anywhere with this meeting, Harry makes his excuses and ducks out, dragging Niall with him so he can question him more thoroughly. Once they're out in the hall, he says,
Thought it was just a crush. I mean... Niall says, it's a bit of that too.
You should have told me, Harry says, well aware that he sounds petulant as fuck, and that his bottom lip is jetting out something horrible. His pout grows when Niall just laughs, a little breathlessly, and punches Niall's arm before wrapping his arm around Niall's neck.
I wasn't, says Niall after he stopped laughing. I mean, I didn't want to make it out to be anything.
It's obviously not nothing.
I don't know what it is for him, Niall blurts.
And there it is. And Harry hugs Niall. He spares a thought for what an opportunistic little shit he is, because yeah, he knows a lot about Liam, but Liam doesn't know how much Harry knows about him. So maybe a good, effective way to get to know Liam better, on the terms of an actual normal person, instead of on the terms of someone who is just creepily collecting information about the cutest boy in school, is to use Niall and Zane's whatever to his advantage. Wednesday. Harry opens the red-wrapped box excitedly. Nestled on a bed of cotton balls and candies is a Superman belt buckle. He looks around for a note and finally finds the press of a pencil led to the top of the lid of the box. Part of it is erased. What he can see reads, Batman would look better on you, but I'll hold true to your preferences. XX. Harry takes the tissue wrapping and pulls that stunt people do in books and movies all the time. Holding it flat against the erased part of the box, shading over the entire thing with one of his awesome new Superman pencils. When he's done, he reads, "Not that you need to draw even more of my attention to that crotch of yours, but..." Wink face. His stomach turns over and his heart probably does too. For a brief moment, his thoughts flash to what he's getting for the girl he drew back when Niall had the bright idea to take all of his friends' names down and put them on slips of paper in his favorite snap pack, and do the whole Secret Santa thing. Jade is a sweet girl, and one that Harry has had many classes with in the past, but he's mostly getting her generic things that her girlfriend, Harry's friend Jessie, told him she'd like. Candies, cute flora pins, lots of bow-tie-themed headbands, and handkerchiefs and the like. It's nothing like the way Harry's Secret Santa, who does seem to have a bit of a one-track mind, is spoiling him. He brings it up with Liam during physics that afternoon. When Liam sees the belt buckle that Harry has already slipped on, even though it doesn't really go with his shirt, and made a face.
"Superman, Harry, really?"
"It's from my Secret Santa," Harry says indignantly, adjusting the belt buckle a little bit so that it's more front and center. He keeps an eye on Liam as he does, hoping... But Liam just glances away once he notices what Harry's doing. Harry has to swallow his disappointment, shrugging it off as he puts his backpack down on the floor by his seat and sits down.
"So are you just getting Superman stuff then?"
Liam asks, as Harry leans over to get his notebooks and the pencils his Secret Santa had gotten him on Monday out of his bag. "Think so," Harry says, flipping through his book to find the page he'd left off on in the previous class. Liam leans forward, arms on the table, hands folded loosely together.
"It doesn't get a bit repetitive?"
he asks, twisting his head so that he's looking directly at Harry. Harry considers the question seriously. "Not really," he decides. "I doubt I'd get anything like it from friends or family for Christmas this year." He smiles. "I think my person is really spoiling me, if I'm honest." Liam smiles back politely.
"How so?"
"I'm pretty sure they've already gone over budget," Harry says, "considering everything I've already gotten by day 3. He doodles a little spiral in the corner of his page and glances up at the clock. Class is due to start in another 2 minutes. "But enough about me. Have you gotten anything good?"
"Nothing as fancy as what you've got, I'm afraid,"
Liam says. And then he frowns.
"Sorry, that was uncharitable of me. I've loved everything I've gotten, but it's mostly been candy and ornaments so far."
Harry's heart flips over in his chest again at how sweet and thoughtful and considerate Liam is, even of the feelings of his Secret Santa. He ducks his head to hide his, probably telling, fond smile. Once he's gotten control over it, he says, "By the way, Liam, I've been meaning to ask, does Zane have a thing for Niall?" Liam stares at him, eyes wide. He says, starting to frown slightly. So Harry hastens to add, "Niall's got a bit of a thing for Zane, so I was just wondering. Apparently they snogged a bit last weekend." It's at that moment, with Liam's eyebrows shooting up and lovely mouth opening to speak, that their teacher comes in and starts class. But since it's physics and it's basically a lost cause already, Harry just pushes his notebook between the two of them and writes, "Please don't tell them I asked, obviously." Liam glances at the paper, then takes out a bureau and drags the paper closer to him.
"Zane hasn't mentioned, but I wouldn't be surprised."
Harry frowns at the paper. Liam's handwriting looks familiar, but he can't quite place it.
"Why wouldn't you be surprised?" "He keeps going off during lunch. And every time we're in history, he's always watching Niall, not the PowerPoint."
The teacher clears her throat and stares directly at Harry and Liam. So Harry shoots her his most charming smile, eyes purposefully widened to betray the ultimate degrees of his innocence. Her face softens slightly, and she only looks at them a moment longer before turning back to the velocity equations, or whatever it is that they're learning now. When she's fully turned back to the whiteboard, Harry writes, "You and I should do something about it, maybe," and pushes the paper an inch closer to Liam. Liam doesn't drag it closer to respond, though. And when Harry looks over, Liam staring forward at the board with such a look of guilt on his face that Harry just... Well, Liam is like this total strange beast who actually feels bad about being caught passing notes by a teacher, who thinks about being polite about a Secret Santa, and who is always ready to engage in conversations with just about every student at the school. And Harry knows for a fact that there's a whole gaggle of girls half in love with Liam. He considers himself an honorary member of their number. They don't know about his own massive crush on Liam, but he overhears them talking and debate, and at Liam's track meets and boxing matches, because Harry, of course, goes to every single one too. And he fancies himself in the same boat as them by now. And Liam is perfectly nice to every single one, and how can a boy, or girl, Harry supposes, be expected to just not fall hopelessly head over heels for the guy? Harry is not entirely convinced that Liam isn't actually a really advanced robot from the future, designed to ensnare the hearts of millions and manipulate them into becoming a human army for all the robot overlords down the road. To be honest, that's another conversation he had with Niall when they were really high, giggling and shooting the shit in Harry's kitchen and trying to decide if their munchies outweighed their laziness at cooking food. Regardless, though, Harry doesn't understand how Liam can be so red with embarrassment, and so nice and so thoughtful and sweet and unattainable. As a general rule, Harry doesn't do unattainable. This is really inconvenient, actually. The way his heart pounds harder and his palms get really grossly sweaty, and the way he keeps feeling this swooping, swelling sort of sensation in the pit of his stomach whenever Liam does something particularly inexplicable and cute. Harry would much rather pop a stiffy in the middle of a conversation with a really hot girl than feel these things about Liam Payne all the time, because at least he'd know what to do with a sudden erection in a hot girl. He leans in close to Liam when their teacher's back is turned and whispered, low and slow, "Relax, Payne. It's okay." Liam shudders and glances at Harry, who smiles encouragingly back. And that's basically it for their conversation until the end of class, when Liam agrees that he'll think about mentioning something to Zane. Harry is three steps away, en route to his English course, when he realizes that Liam has said something. "What?" he calls back. Liam grins, gesturing between the two of them. "At their crotches? What?" And he says,
"We match. Except mine's better."
Harry stares after Liam as he winks and goes on his way. And yeah, he's well and truly fucked. Wrapped neatly in purple paper decorated with curled gold ribbon the next day is an iPhone case with the Superman logo on the back, and a note that reads as follows. "Harry, I hope these gifts aren't getting repetitive. I just couldn't help but notice the other week that your case was cracked, and I suppose when it comes down to it, if you go crazy, then I'll still call you Superman. I must confess that I fancy you a bit, and if you don't fancy me back, that's okay. Because I really don't mind what happens now. And then, as long as you'll still be my friend at the end. Your Secret Santa admirer. XXX." Harry's heart thuds deep in his chest because this is honestly one of the sweetest notes he's ever gotten. But he just feels so badly for whoever his Secret Santa is, because all he can think of is how much he wants it to be Liam. But he's so sure it isn't. Not after every conversation he's had with the guy this week. Niall comes up beside Harry, snacking on an apple.
"What have you got there?"
he asks, reaching out to look at the note. Harry snatches it back. "It's from my Secret Santa."
"What does it say, then?" Niall asks, grabbing for it again.
This time Harry lets him take it and watches as he reads it, eyebrows shooting higher and higher. Finally, he grins and looks at Harry and opens his mouth, doubtlessly to take the piss. So Harry interrupts him, plucking the paper from his grasp and saying, "By the way, Niall, Liam reckons Zane fancies you back. I think you should make a move." He heads to class, leaving Niall sputtering in his wake. Harry groans, thumping his backpack onto the floor and sliding down the wall into a sit, then letting himself topple to his side, head in Louis's lap.
"Louis," he groans, wrinkling his nose at the way Louis smells.
Sitting together after Louis's football practice and Harry's debate team meetings on Thursdays, and waiting for Harry's big sister to come and take them out for a bite to eat on her way home from hockey practice at the posh girls' school she attends, is routine.
but usually Louis bothers to shower in the gym locker rooms before he heads out.
I'm having a crisis.
Louis's fingers automatically find their way into Harry's curls, dangling up in them as he scratches soothingly at Harry's scalp.
What's going on then, babe?
Reckon I'm in love with Liam Payne, Harry says miserably.
Louis's stomach clenches in a way that Harry easily recognizes as suppressed laughter, so he pokes Louis's ribs hard to get back at him.
I thought you already knew that,
he says finally. So Harry rolls over enough that he can glare up at Louis.
Well, yes, but it's gotten worse, he says, and then,
stop laughing, Lou, this is serious.
To his credit, Louis smooths his face over and looks solemnly down at Harry, clucking his tongue sympathetically.
Poor Harold. Go on and tell Auntie Louis all about it.
Harry rolls his eyes spectacularly at Louis, to show him what he thinks of the title Louis just gave himself, then sighs heavily.
He's just so sweet and cute, and I don't understand it because he felt guilty when we got caught passing notes in physics, and he just cares about everyone so much and is so nice to everyone, and he's just so good.
Yeah, you've got it bad, mate,
Louis says, grinning again.
Just kiss him and see what he says.
I can't, Harry says, feeling a bit sick with his feelings.
Hold on, Louis says. I could have sworn that Harry Styles, notorious kiss addict, said he couldn't kiss someone. Harry, you've kissed half the people at the school.
I know, says Harry, corners of his mouth turning down as he speaks. I'm well aware, but it's just, Liam is so good, Lou, so incomprehensibly and intimidatingly good. I just can't kiss him like he's just anyone.
Harry,
Louis says,
you realize that you two are my best mates, right?
Yes, Harry says slowly.
And therefore know him really, really well.
I suppose.
Then I hate to break it to you, mate, but you've put him on a bit of a pedestal.
Harry sits up so quickly that his head swims.
I have not. He says, you know Liam, you know he's, like, innately good.
Well, yes, Louis admits, but he's not nearly as unapproachable as you seem to think.
Louis, Harry says, I really appreciate you, I seriously do, but you've been happily dating Leanne for months now. I think you've forgotten what it's like to be single and uncertain.
Harry,
Louis says, tone as serious as Harry's was.
You've not been uncertain a day in your life.
I am now, Harry whines. Loving Liam Payne is hard.
And of course, his life pretty much ends right then and there because he hears a gasp and looks up to see Liam Payne's retreating back hurrying away. And he just feels so awful that he actually starts to tear up. Life is so unfair.
Life is so unfair, he says to Louis, who absolutely definitely saw Liam too, and
Louis just looks at him sadly and tugs him in for a cuddle. The next day begins awfully, simply the worst in Harry's life. He's already exhausted when he gets to school, because he spent the night tossing and turning and thinking about how Liam now knows that he's creepily obsessed with him, and totally in love with him, and if Liam does what he literally always does and acts nicely about it, then Harry will probably die of mortification. As soon as he walks into the school, he sees Zane and Niall holding hands and leaning their heads in close together by the water fountains, whispering about something with these adorable secret smiles on their faces that Harry absolutely loathes. Good for them, he supposes, but it's nothing he wants to see, so he just hurries on past them. Louis is nowhere to be found, and Liam, thankfully, isn't either. And when Harry gets to his locker, there's no present waiting inside. And, like, he's glad that he doesn't have to deal with letting his secret Santa down easily, but he was also looking forward to finding out what his big present was. So he's even more disappointed now. He gives Jade the posh collection of vintage bow ties he found at a second-hand shop a week ago in their French class, and she thanks him with a hug and a kiss on the cheek. And not even that alleviates his utter distress at the fact that Liam knows about his crush. He swears to never, ever fall for someone like that ever again because it's entirely too unpleasant. Kissing girls and some guys at parties is all the feelings he'll need, probably. Until he starts dating someone and develops feelings appropriately, for once. Harry is just about to sneak off school grounds for lunch and go somewhere with a lot of greasy, comforting food, and then probably skive off physics, and the rest of the day, and possibly the rest of the term, when Liam comes running up behind him.
"Hi, Harry,"
Liam says, pausing 2 feet away.
"Hi," Harry says, frozen in his spot and feeling altogether too many feelings about just seeing Liam's face again. Liam's friendly face. Oh, good lord. Liam is going to be nice about this whole thing, just like Harry thought.
Harry is going to be violently ill all over the place.
"I was just wondering, can we talk?"
"Yes, what is it?" Harry asks, knowing full well what it is.
"Not here," Liam says. Not in the hallway."
"Was going to get McDonald's or something," Harry says slowly. And Liam nods and says,
"Okay, let's go."
Which is surprising, honestly. So much so that Harry is shocked out of protesting. The walk to the restaurant is silent. Awkwardly so. Liam doesn't really say anything until they have their burgers and chips and are sat at a table that is only a little bit sticky.
"Harry,"
he says, unwrapping his burger and folding his hands together instead of picking it up and eating it. And, oh god, Harry really shouldn't have gotten food. This is going to be a mess.
"Liam," he says unsteadily.
"Harry," Liam repeats, and then he looks very sad, which is, no. No, 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 no.
"Harry, I'm not an overwhelmingly good person."
"What?" Harry asks. This is not how he expected Liam to start this conversation.
"I'm not," Liam says. I'm just a lad, really. I mess up as much as anyone, and it's hard to be so nice to so many people, but I feel badly if I'm not."
"See," Harry says dully, "that's what makes you so good. I don't know anyone else who feels badly if they're a bit mean about someone." Liam smiles very slightly.
"Reckon I'm just a bit weird, actually."
"No," Harry says staunchly. "No, you're an inspiration, really." And then Liam smiles wider and reaches across the table like he's going to take Harry's hands. And Harry just... he really just can't take the rejection, so he quickly says, "Liam, please, just let me down easy, okay?" Liam jerks his hands back in surprise.
"Let you down easy? What?"
"I know you overheard what I said yesterday, and I know you came here to tell me that you don't feel the same way, and that's okay. Honest," Harry says, feeling a bit like he's going to get weepy again. "Just don't be nice about it, Liam. I don't know if I could take that."
I'm not going to let you down easy, Harry," Liam says, frowning. Can you seriously not know?"
"Not know what?" Liam looks at Harry for a long moment, then reaches under the table for his backpack. He rummages around a little bit, then draws out a box wrapped in white tissue paper with red ribbon and a green bow. Wordlessly, he passes it over. Harry unwraps it with trembling fingers. Inside is a Superman shirt and a card that, at a glance, seems to consist of a picture of cakes, with the number 40 scrawled over the top and a stick figure man in a cape with a speech bubble saying, "Not 4 tens," while pointing at another capeless stick figure. Harry stares at it for a long moment, torn between the urge to laugh helplessly at the card and the urge to cry at the realization that is dawning on him now, then looks back up at Liam.
"I really don't get your affection for him,"
Liam confesses earnestly.
"Batman is obviously superior in every way, but I know you like him a lot, and I... Harry, I like you a lot."
"You're my secret Santa," Harry whispers, thinking of all the borderline flirty messages he got, and all the thoughtful messages he got, and all the sweet little gifts, and the way he can now place exactly why Liam's handwriting looked familiar when they were passing notes on Wednesday, and... "But you acted like you weren't."
"I couldn't let you know it was me right away,"
Liam says, as if it should be obvious.
"I wanted to put off potential heartbreak for as long as possible."
"Liam, I don't know what to say," Harry says tremulously.
Say you'll give me a chance,
Liam says immediately.
Harry, I rather fancy you a lot, and I know that running off the way I did yesterday was not on at all. But it was so much to take in, and I'm not as good as you seem to think I am. And I'm not as charming or interesting as you are, and I don't make friends as easily, but I just want a chance. Please.
What are you talking about? Harry asks, feeling all fizzy inside, like he's a bottle of Coke that's been shook up for too long, and he's about to explode with feelings all over the place.
Not charming or interesting, seriously. And you're the one who's friendly with, like, everyone at school.
I'm not,
Liam protests, the corners of his mouth turning down at the edges, eyebrows peaked up in concern.
Liam,
Harry says, and he has to take a drink of his water because his mouth has gone dry.
You are the single most interesting person at our school. To me.
You're having me on,
Liam says, but he's starting to smile.
Please, just don't ask Niall how much I've learned about you because of how interesting I find you,
Harry murmurs, scooting forward in his chair. I mean, Liam. He looks straight at Liam. How long?
Oh, Liam says. An embarrassing long amount of time, if I'm honest. But I didn't know what to do about it until Louis pointed out what being your secret Santa could mean.
Harry makes a mental note to kill Louis, till he's very dead for knowing so much and saying so little. Me too, he says, scooting still closer. He looks at the table, stopping him from moving even closer, and the food on it, and feels less than hungry now that everything is getting all sorted out. He's full on life and love and Liam. Liam, are you hungry right now? Liam looks down at the table in surprise, almost as if he's forgotten they were at a restaurant.
Not really, he confesses, making a face. I really only came because you suggested it.
Harry grins. Do you want to head out? And maybe not back to school? I can think of more interesting things we could be doing that don't involve learning. A flash of pain crosses Liam's face, but he nods.
Yeah, he says. Yeah, I think I can give up on one afternoon of classes. What did you have in mind?
Well, Harry says.
For starters, I'd really like to snog you properly. But not,
well, not in the middle of McDonald's.
So they clear their trays as they walk out of the restaurant. Liam slips his hand around Harry's wrist and lets it slide down until they're holding hands, fingers tangling and arms swinging as they walk. Harry doesn't have the textbooks he'll need to finish homework for the weekend, but he can probably text someone about that. For now, he wants nothing more than this, to tug Liam along the snowy streets and duck into a park that they pass on their walk, and wrap his arms around Liam's shoulders and have Liam plant his hands firmly around Harry's waist, and lean in, pausing mere inches away from his face. The hot puff of his breath brushing against his lips until Harry can't stand it anymore, and he's forced to close the distance between them with the softest, sweetest kiss he can remember having. On Monday, Secret Santa's over with, and there's no present waiting for him inside his locker. When Harry turns around, though, Liam is stood right behind him with a smile on his face that only gets bigger when Liam launches himself into his arms. And that's probably the best present he could possibly get, anyway. The end. Thanks for listening.